Hi, everyone. What is a voice? In many ways, it's a question that we've all asked ourselves. It's just a section of muscles vibrating against each other, making sound. It's just noise. So should we get rid of that? Should we cancel that? Are we saying anything useful? We should cancel that, but then also use that same voice to make noise to give people informed opinions on tech. That's what we're going to do here today with the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Let's find out who's on it.
I'm Sharia Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Adam Vajestica, Senior Staff Writer at TechRadar.
I'm Joe Lynch, Executive Editor at TechRadar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. And I'm really sorry for that intro. It was shit.
weren't your best. For starters, like, I'm pretty sure physicians don't ask what a voice is, or muscle, or throat. Pretty sure they've got that locked down.
Also, this isn't a physician-based podcast. This is about tech and uninformed opinions on it when we should be informed. That's what we're doing. How is everyone today in this lockdown day 4000?
Pretty good. I was up until 4 o'clock writing reviews, so you know, just wired off of nervous energy.
I had a late tech-related night as well. I accidentally drank a large bottle of beer that was 10% in volume, which when I read the back said you were meant to drink it out of champagne flutes. I ended up until 2 a.m. trying to sideload Netflix onto a dodgy little portable projector. It wasn't my finest hour. Didn't work. So, pointless.
Were you by yourself?
Yes, I was sadly by myself.
That's a weird activity to do when you get drunk.
I wish you'd actually done it out of champagne flutes. That'd be even worse. Like, just drinking beer out of champagne flute, trying to sideload Netflix.
That's how they claim it's best served. So,
what beer was this? I need to get this.
It's called Ninkasi, I think. It's like it's a Japanese beer that I ended up with. It was very nice. It definitely didn't taste like the 10% stuff that you see people in public parks drinking.
Well, neither does champagne, but you know.
True.
And Adam, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
I mean, listeners can't see it, but you're looking quite dark.
Oh, good. It's because I haven't got my soft spotlight on in the shadows. I thought it'd be appropriate considering one of the topics we're talking about later.
Indeed.
But yeah, I had a Japanese beverage as well last night. I had some Roku gin, which is very nice, very crisp. And I was playing Death Stranding on PC, which launched yesterday, and that game is pretty weird and very gripping.
Yeah. I haven't finished it yet. Like, I guess I'm going to go back eventually.
Yeah, I'm 3 hours in and it's you can't stop just scratching your head and staring at the game. It's beautiful, but so strange.
Like, oh, Hideo.
Oh, Hideo.
I tell you what, I wasn't drinking any Japanese beverages last night, nor was I playing any tech stuff, really. Cleaned the kitchen. Really exciting, having moved house. But the idea of playing games for too long, I think, got ruined for me when on the N64 I was playing Turok the Dinosaur Hunter, and I was so stressed out by it, and they had like really specific save points that it really put me off. Like, that really knocked me back in my gaming career quite heavily. Sort of, I thought, I can't handle this stress of like having to try and find the save point. It was too much.
I think both me and Sherry have played too many games in the last fortnight, going by the reviews we've both put out this week.
No, there's never such a thing as too many games. No, not at all.
Agreed.
Right, before we get into too much more Japanese-based action, it works both ways, see? The big question this week is based on the fact that we a really popular piece on TechRadar about how noise-cancelling headphones can actually help save your hearing. Makes a lot of sense. But it did make me feel like, you know, I think it's really great things like the AirPods Pro or any Apple headphones combined with an iPhone can tell you just how much you're messing up your hearing. But I thought, why are we needing so much tech to stop us from just injuring ourselves nowadays? Why can we not like go, that's a bit loud, and just stop doing it? So the big question this week is like, if you could invent or point to any piece of tech that you'd like to see created to stop you being stupid, what would it be and why? Adam.
So mine's more to do with other people than myself, because, and to be honest, because I'm perfect and there's nothing that could improve me, clearly. But in general, tech does make us stupider. I mean, for me, I rely on tech to make my life easier. But mine's kind of going down the whole self-automated car route. I don't even want self-driving cars. I just want cars that automatically indicate or you put their blinker on when people don't do it. Because that's the most annoying thing ever. And even if it's just as simple as if someone doesn't bother to do it, it does it automatically for them. That would save me so much frustration on the roads.
That's a good one. I mean, Cherie just pumped her fist with excitement at the thought of it. So.
I mean, I am from New Jersey, and we are a land of aggressive drivers, and I live in New York, a land of equally aggressive drivers. So yes, that would be most beneficial.
All right, it's a strong opening. Gerald, what you got next?
So mine is existing tech that is yet to be perfected. It also comes with a degree of shameful arrogance from the English-speaking world. But I am very, very intrigued to get a working pair of real-time in-ear translators. I think it's a great idea. I mean, personally as well, I totally get a get-out-of-jail-free card in terms of not learning any languages going to school because my school shut down. It failed like every inspection going. My French teacher had an affair with one of the kids. Like it was,
what?
You know, it was a right mess. So I was never going to learn it the conventional way, right? So that's not on me now. but as I travel the world, like it'd be so great to be able to engage on a level playing field with people from other cultures when I'm traveling. So I think that'd be really good if we could get that to work well. And it's nearly there. You know, there's lots of in-ear earbuds that are almost doing it. Lots of good translation apps, but it's still not perfect.
And also people need two-way. You have to give earbuds to the person you're talking to as well.
The funny thing is that most people in the world have English as a second language. So it's, you know, it's not my problem.
But they'll probably speak to you in English then, if that's the case.
Yeah, but you know, it's about being friendly around the world, isn't it?
So what? So you'll listen to them in their language, but you won't speak.
I haven't thought it through properly, right? But I'm sure there's a user case for it out there. And anyway, but if you see them in action, these real time translators, and I've seen people using ones that offer the words written out on the screen and then showing it to people and stuff. And if we can get to a point where that's like audio based and accurate, I think that'd be really good for everyone. It'd be the Tower of Babel over again, but hopefully without the wrath of God at the end of it.
Cherie, you look like you had thoughts.
Well, I'm sad that we don't have time to delve into Gerald's school, because I feel like there's an hour worth of content right there. But
there is, trust me,
for the police.
But but the idea that I have, like, in a perfect world, this would be unhackable. This would be like, as soon as you did anything, it would immediately erase. But I would like there to be a smart keystroke technology in your laptops and on your phones. So when you're on social media and you're about to say something that could damage your reputation in any which way, you'll get a notification like, hey, looks like you're about to send some hate speech. Do you really want to do that? Like, hey, looks like you're about to try to send some revenge porn. That's an arrestable offense. Do you really want to send that?
Like a you might be cancelled warning from Twitter.
Indeed.
Very good.
That's the same kind of thing. We'll talk about the privacy implications of that maybe one day, but the freedom of speech. But the other side of that would be, you know, it's after 9 o'clock. It knows you're in the pub or the bar, and it's like, oh, messaging an ex, are we? Are we sure?
Yes.
Or worse still, messaging yourself, which is what I did one time. I had a whole conversation with myself in a Wetherspoons. So every time I text, I then put my phone in my pocket and it vibrates. I'd be like, great, someone's messaging me. And then I pick it up and somehow I managed to keep this conversation going because it was just stuff like, where are you? Oh, I'm at the bar. I'm also at the bar. And it went on far too long until the next
day.
Adam,
were you in the meeting the other day when I accidentally triggered my Echo speaker to record my own voice and then play it back
yes,
to me, which
amazing.
I didn't realise I'd done. And then I got really freaked out thinking there was someone in my house.
Wow. I mean, there's so much tech to invent here. I mean, I also saw the picture you sent your mum where you photoshopped yourself onto yourself and said, Mum, look at my delivery driver. Oh, it looks just like me.
She got a bit freaked out.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because
rightfully so.
I also like the fact that Cherie's just turned on a light and it's done very little to the lighting situation there, but just to really mug off Adam.
I tried.
I can go full beam if I have to. I'd have to get up and reach for it.
I've changed my Apple thing to Enter the Dragon, so it lights up everything when I walk in.
That's pretty. I can't say the words, arrogant. That is.
My one is because I was thinking what could save me from the stupidest things I do, and one of the most annoying things that I can do is just, you know, when you're walking downstairs and your foot just goes too far forward and you slip backwards and just blah, 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 down the stairs. Like, oh. It's happened to us all once, maybe in their lives. It's happened to me two or three times, which, you know, as a ratio of stairs is still pretty low, but I'd rather it just didn't happen. So I'd like some sort of mechanism in my shoes that could just test the balance and just be like, send out a warning if I'm about to hit tipping point.
Can I send a note? Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
If you flood those stairs, it then becomes a very kind of hardcore water slide. So, you know, you can get some fun out of it, especially when we're all locked indoors, right? You're not going to go to a water park anytime soon.
That's a very painful water slide.
I didn't say it would be easy.
Also, it once happened to me at a restaurant where it was like, you know, the restaurant's on the floor and the stairs were at the side and they went downwards. So they sort of just, you know, so you disappeared down the stairs. And I did it and I slipped and I sort of fell on my back and went down the stairs, and it sort of went down the middle and turned right and went back down again. And I got down, I realised I'd fallen so far that if I stood up, everyone could see what had happened. If I stayed laid down, no one could see what has happened. They definitely all heard it. So what I did was I just sort of stayed on my back and just slipped down the rest of the stairs sideways, so no one could see who it was that had fallen down the stairs.
I think everyone must have a terrible falling down the stairs story, because I have one, only one. But when I was in high school, I went on a date to a girl's house and I was playing it really cool. Everything was going great, and
no,
then
no, you were. I was just going to tell you right now, you were. No.
I absolutely was. It was the smoothest I could possibly be, and that's, you know, quite coarse.
We're men. We can't do it.
Adam, cheese grater Vigestica.
How did you know my nickname? So she was on the top of the stairs, and I gave her a little wave as I was about to go down the stairs. And then as I waved, my foot slipped, and I went all the way down as she watched me go all the way down. And then the next day, it was such a bad fall, and she was like crying with laughter that my homework, my science homework, had fallen out of my bag on the fall down. So she then had to meet me the next day at school, which I didn't want to do, to give me the homework that had fallen out of my bag as I fell down the stairs. And I'll never forget it.
I was going to say, yeah, was it a success?
It was a year and a half of a very, very intense relationship, yeah.
Ooh. I too have a fall story. It's real quick. So I'm at this meeting of the New York Video Games Critics Circle, and I have two beers, and anyone that knows me knows that my tolerance is two beers is nothing. So I go to leave, and the steps out of the bar are incredibly steep, and I try to correct myself, but I'm too far gone, and I'm having one of those slow motion falls, and it feels like I'm going to correct myself a couple times. Like, there were a couple times where I almost like what? So not only was it a hard fall, it was a long fall that ultimately ended up with me falling into a bunch of trash bags. And The worst part of it, the fall was the bad part of it, but the second part of it was people assumed that I was drunk, and I was really offended by that because I only had two beers.
But the great thing is that you ended up dating one of those trash bags for a year and a half, so.
And it was an intense relationship.
It sounds like the tech that you three guys need most is a Stairmaster.
Yeah. A Stairmaster, yeah. Some orthopedic shoes.
You've never given me an exact story, but I've known you long enough to know you've definitely fallen downstairs at some point in your life.
Oh, have I fallen downstairs? I did fall downstairs at a club once, this is quite a fun story, at which once I hit the bottom of the stairs, a girl who I'd been going to college with said, "I'd very much like to kiss you." And then no, it was good, right?
What?
But I very much didn't want to, so I tried to run off. But my back really hurts. So I kind of just stumbled away drunkenly.
That's incredible.
Very strange.
How did you pull that off? She wanted to kiss you after you'd made a fool of yourself. That's amazing.
Oh, you know, I was just a charming guy, Adam. You know, one one fool does not make the man.
Wow, I feel like that's been my favourite question so far. I feel like it segued all over the place and we're back again now, which is wonderful to have. I don't know who to award the points to. I think I'm going to go with Adam because his one was just really practically useful in terms of the indicators. And basically also, we've had such mirth after I've forgotten the other ones. And my one's always rubbish, so I'm never going to get that one. But right, let's get on to what's actually happened this week. So we've had a lot of reviews, as I'm sure you've talked about, but Adam, let's kick off with you. Assassin's Creed, you've been messing around with that. Talk to me again, somebody who post Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter, has been out of the gaming game as much as I'd like to be. Like, why is this important? Do I care?
Ultimately, what boils down to me with Assassin's Creed games, and to be honest, I was thinking this is what I was thinking about in the shower this morning. Ubisoft games in general are all about the setting. I swear they must go, what setting do we want? And then they make a game around that. So really the biggest draw for Valhalla is just the fact that, are you interested in the Viking Age? Do you like Viking lore? Are you a fan of the Vikings on Amazon Prime? Do you want to be part of that world? And if you don't, then I don't see why you'd really gravitate towards an Assassin's Creed game, because I don't think they do stuff that other games do as well. Like, the combat's okay, the stealth's okay, the stories are okay. It's all about the setting.
So why is it such a big deal?
It's a big deal because everyone loves Assassin's Creed.
Except Adam.
Much more than I do. This is the first Assassin's Creed I've played since Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Because I was just done with the series.
Series highlight, though, Black Flag. I love Black Flag.
Yes, it was. It was decent. But I much prefer it to the old Assassin's Creed games. So ever since Origins came around, they kind of changed the gameplay, made it more RPG-based, made it a bit more granular, and just more immersive, I think. And this carries on that trend of Origins in Odyssey, but it's in the Viking Age. Do you like Vikings, Gareth? Is that appealing?
They're right.
After you've played it with dinosaurs?
I'm pretty sure that there's some Viking heritage in me, just based on my natural demeanor, of course, not my blonde hair.
Is that... No, I won't say that.
Adam, but you enjoy being a Viking. That's what your whole opinion piece is about.
I did, exactly. So for me, it was right on the money, because that is a setting that I really am invested in and can see myself spending a lot of time in with the characters, you know, even with the mythological side of it, like with Thor and Odin and all that. But I still want a feudal Japan one, but we'll talk about that more when we talk about Gerard's review.
Gerard's review.
Gerard.
Gerlad.
That's what I call him. That's what we call him. But yeah, no, it's good. It's good, but like I said in my piece, if you've played Assassin's Creed, if you're tired of it, if you're still hours and hours into Odyssey, you're not going to rush out and buy Valhalla, I don't think.
Well, I'm bored of that. You've not sold it to me. Cherie, can you talk about Watchdog Legion?
Good. I wasn't trying to.
I can. And just real quick on Assassin's Creed, it's a shorter, supposedly it's going to be a smaller world and shorter than Odyssey. So this might be the first Assassin's Creed I finish in a long, long while. But on to Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs Legion, this will be the first in the series to hop across the pond and go international. So it will be taking place in London.
London, baby.
And London, baby. And it will also be the first to let you recruit anyone, and I mean anyone, in the game. So no NPC is safe from from being a member of DedSec, which is a really cool conceit, and they've vastly improved the driving mechanic. I'm not sure if the mechanic is going to hold up over the course of the game. That is what worries me.
And so, again, this is me showing my lack of knowledge. From what I understand, Watch Dogs is all about hacking, right? Doing some hackings.
It's basically about this weird group called DedSec. Like, I guess they're white hat hackers, and they're raging against the machine that is CTOS, which is this operating system that governments are putting into city infrastructures that, like, are built into everything. Your cell phone, your records, raising and lowering bridges. Even if you have a car with technology in it, you can hack a car. And this can be dangerous in the wrong hands, and DedSec exploits that by showing people just how dangerous it is so they will get rid of C-Tech. But CTOS never goes anywhere, so I don't know. I don't think they're very effective.
Listeners, you can't see the fact that Cherie just, you know, when you sort of reach for a word and you wiggle your fingers and go, what's that word? And Cherie just did that for the word technology, which worries me a little bit. I feel like you should know that.
As a born and bred Londoner, can I ask some very important questions about London in Watch Dogs Legion?
You would not survive in that London, Gerald.
What?
Everyone is extremely aggressive, and I feel like you wouldn't survive.
You ain't seen me in a scrap, mate.
but a lot of cursing. It's like, oh my god.
Can you get pie and mash?
Wait, what?
You can have a pint.
You can have a pint anywhere in the world. Can you get pie and mash?
No.
You can't have a pint in America. You can't get a pint in America. You can get like a pseudo pint, but not quite.
Craft beer is across the globe now, and they're happy to do pints.
Okay, fine. But yeah, can you get pie and mash, Cherie?
No, but I really wish we did. Like there was this one golden year where we had this store that was doing meat pies and it was all over the place and it was glorious, and then it went out of business and my heart was broken because I was doing steak and peas pie like nobody's business, and then they did this curry chicken one. Now I'm sad.
So Watch Dogs Legion immediately loses one star for inauthenticity.
What about the bikes that you can rent? Can you rent bikes?
I mean, you don't rent them. You just pick them up and scoot your ass on down the road.
Doesn't seem right. You should be able to rent them and put them back in allocated docks at the right time after been spending the right amount of money. So that's another star gone.
My favorite part of Watch Dogs has always been like hacking into NPC phones and seeing what little details will come up about them. It amuses the little voyeur in me, like, oh, this NPC is like they are going through a divorce, or this one might be a stalker. Like it that's always been my
favorite
part.
Sounds like pretty much like my London life, to be honest.
Well, okay, fine. Ghost of Tsushima, Gerald.
Yes.
You've been playing that. Cherie, I know you've been playing that as well. Like, this one, I'll be honest, you made it sound like it was a very good game, but also not. I was quite confused.
Me?
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a matter of context.
A taste was left in your mouth, I felt.
So, for those who aren't aware, Ghost of Tsushima is basically the last big exclusive for the PlayStation 4.
How have you not learned how to say the word Tsushima yet?
Tsushima, I said that.
Yeah, you still stumbled. Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. The game about the ghost, man. Ghost of Tsushima is... Wait, why are you laughing? Do you want my input, Gareth? Do you want my input?
Contractually, yes, I do.
So it's basically an open world. It's a last big exclusive that the PlayStation 4 is going to have ahead of the PS5 coming. So it's very important to sort of see as a swan song to that console generation. It's made by Sucker Punch, the people who made the Infamous series. And it's an open world game very much in the same mold as the Assassin's Creed games, except it's set in feudal Japan. And you play as a wandering samurai trying to retake his homeland from a Mongolian invasion force. I really liked it. It's not without its faults, but it's one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. And providing that you haven't burnt yourself out on some of the big hitting games in the genre of the last decade, Red Dead Redemption 2, Witcher 3, Turok, obviously.
Turok.
I think there's a lot of fun to be had, but I think you may find that it's a little bit too familiar in some of its approaches to the conventions of open world games that could eventually make you feel a little bit burnt out. However, the way that this world is rendered is truly beautiful. You've got like amazing Shinto shrines to explore, golden fields, cherry blossom trees with the leaves on it. It does some really interesting things with having an immersive UI, and it has some really interesting things with clever navigation tools that don't obscure you as you're playing and exploring this really interesting world. Combat is great. It's just that none of it is anything you haven't done before in other similar open world games. Whether or not that's a problem for you depends on the mileage you've had with other open world games, basically.
I do agree. Like, I feel like some of the collectibles, they should have had more weight to them. Like, there's this, there are sites throughout the game, and it is one of the prettiest games that I have played on a PlayStation. Like, if you have a PlayStation Pro, I highly guarantee you need to play this game. Like, 4K, HDR, just balls to the wall pretty. But I do, like, there are places in the game where you make your own haikus. And that is just a beautiful experience. You're looking at the scenery and contemplating on certain things. And you get a headband, which would be cool if the headband did something besides be ornamental.
Yeah.
So, and it's just like filler. So it's just like, oh, this is a great mechanic, but you needed to put more weight on the reward. Other than that, yes, Feudal Japan, it is basically Assassin's Creed and Feudal Japan, but with much, much better sword fighting. Like, there are legitimate duels, and they are badass. And, like, it's kind of like Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Tenchu Stealth Assassins, and Devil May Cry had a baby. Because they're like, you have different combat styles and you've got to switch them on the fly. And it, like, and the story was really compelling for me. Like, and I wish that they had put a morality tree in there. Like in Mass Effect, when you can play as.
There wasn't a morality tree in Turok, Sherry.
Well, you can play either.
Anyone who kills dinosaurs is just evil. That's
it. Yeah.
I mean, but they're trying to eat you first, so. Whatever, but like you can either play as the white hat, white knight guy, or you just go full renegade and just like do whatever. Like the whole conceit of this game is that you are supposed, like you're a samurai, and samurais have this honor code that you're supposed to walk, and like you know when all that kind of goes out the window when the Mongols come because they're just doing wild stuff. And you have to figure out what you're going to do to save your island. And you end up doing some stuff. And I did the stuff with no compunction. Yeah, I can be a samurai, go in there, sword blazing, and just duel and do all of that. But I can also throw a kunai in someone's face like a ninja, or stealth assassinate them like that, and like do this much faster. Like, there should have been... Since there was so much emphasis on that in the story, there should have been like consequences for actions, and there weren't.
Hmm. I just googled what is a morality tree, and I'm on a academic paper on the moral life of trees, pastoral farming, and production forestry in northern New Zealand.
that's the one.
So for the first time in history, the production forestry in northern New Zealand, forests have been planted on good farmland, in inverted commas. In this article, we analyse conflicting narratives of sustainability in relation to this change, and argue that forestry presents a threat to the identity of pastoral farmers. Is it the same as that?
I mean, there's a lot of pastoral farming in Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. Ghost of Tsushima.
And Haiku. Okay, so out of the three games, which one should I buy?
I would go for Ghost, and I would go for Assassin's Creed.
That's two. You can't say two out of three.
I'm doing that.
This is, for me, I'm going to buy one.
Maybe Ghost, if it's got elements of Assassin's Creed in there and different setting and...
I'm saving up for Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 when it comes out later this year, so I'm just going to stick with that. I'm very excited by that. I mean, I was let down by the GoldenEye remake, thinking that would be like bringing back my childhood. It wasn't. I'm still upset by that
what
now.
What was the most recent game you've played, Gav, that wasn't a remake?
Yeah. Super Mario Run.
Burnout Paradise City. I bought that again on the PlayStation 4 so I could complete it.
Yeah, it's still a remake though, isn't it?
Shadow of the Tomb Raider was the last one.
Okay, that's not so bad.
All right.
Because my sister wanted to play it on the barge that we went on, so I bought it for us. And obviously it was mine, so I played it. Yeah, that's what happened. Right, let's get back to actual tech. Actual tech. Gaming's very important, but in terms of things that you can buy that are shiny, Cherie, you've reviewed the Dell XPS 17. We had the question in the meeting, in the production meeting, 17-inch laptops are nonsense, right? They can't. They're just silly.
I mean, I love a Big Betty. I do. Like, I love my Big Betties and I love my Slim Susies, but you can, like, even though it is the Dell XPS 17 and it does have a gorgeous 4K monitor, I mean 4K panel in there, and it's actually 3840 by 2400, so it's like the highest res panel that you can get in a laptop. It's not actually 17 inches because the actual dimensions, it's like 14.7 by 9.8 by 0.8 inches. So it's not technically a 17-inch laptop, but it is because of the display and Dell's design magic. And a lot of companies are going that route. So you have 17 inches that aren't actually 17 inches, which... It kind of boggles the mind. But barring that, like, if you're looking for a real MacBook Pro 16-inch replacement, or you just can't stand Apple, this is the way to go. It's got a Intel 10th gen processor in there, and it's got a NVIDIA 2060 GPU in there, so it can actually game, it can do all that video editing and photo editing and all that content creation stuff that you want to do. And it's actually pretty light at 5 pounds, 5.5 pounds. Of course, with a Dell machine, like, you have different options. It starts at about $1,449. The version that I am reviewing is $2,049, and you can go all the way up to $3,000 if you want to get froggy with that storage and RAM. And I'm actually very impressed with the battery life. It lasted over 9 hours on our battery test. So I am having a ball with this 17-inch laptop that isn't, but is.
So, I mean, I also want a big screen on the go. I mean, is this just too big for the average person?
The sweet spot, after years and years of talking to vendors, the sweet spot is 15.6 inches.
How do you know that? What makes it the sweet spot?
Like, that's the model that sells out the most. So people, like business folks, people that do commutes, they'll do the 12 or the 13 inches. Everyone else will go for 15.6.
Oh, I want the big one now.
But I, like I said, I love my big Bettys. I do. Like, I really do. I love the screen real estate. And with Dell, you have that wall-to-wall bezel-less design. So you get even more screen, or it seems that way. And this is a very posh machine. And I would highly recommend, if you have to change to do it, to get the version that I'm reviewing. The base model does not come with discrete graphics.
So it's $1,500 to start. It's not cheap, is it?
No, it is not. I mean, it's a MacBook competitor. So,
right, we do have to move on. But I do want the last point of that was, I think the thing is that you said that the bezel is gone in terms of the thickness it used to be. So anybody that's had, I'm sorry, I'm by an open window and you can definitely hear the trains in the background. So apologies, listeners, for that. I've moved to a place that's quite near a train line, which is lots of fun. But the idea being that if you've ever had like a 15-inch laptop from a few years ago, you basically could, and you were happy with that, you could get away with a 17-inch right now and not really notice too much of a size increase, right?
Absolutely.
That's like a good thing.
This is actually, according to Dell, it is 48% smaller than most 15-inch laptops on the market currently. So
48%, that's like, what, nearly a third smaller? That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's a tiny girl that's still 17 inches. It's engineering magic. That's what I will call it.
Right, before we get on to our new game of how many news pieces can you say in a minute, Nintendo Switch 2, we've had some more information possibly leak out about that. There's hints of features coming. Cherie, kick us off. What do we know?
We know that eventually it's coming. Like, we don't know when it's coming. I want it, but I don't even know. Like, it's going to be more Switch stuff. Like, I actually did not read this story yet. So you've caught me at a disadvantage, sir.
Well, from what I've read of the story, Nintendo are the last, I want to say the last console manufacturer who kind of stick to the traditional 5-year cycle. Sony and Microsoft kind of left that in the dust when they developed the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and their consoles seem to last now like 7 to 8 years. Nintendo, that's kind of why Nintendo always appears a year, 2 years into the next console generations, which sometimes works out really well for them if they have a unique feature like the Nintendo Switch, and then sometimes it doesn't work. Well, the Wii, yeah, exactly, was fantastic. But then there's another occasion when it did not work out, which was in the Wii U, and that did terribly. So sometimes they can find themselves stuck between this halfway house of slightly better graphics, but not good enough. So they really need that extra sort of appealing feature, that functionality. And it sounds like that Nintendo very wisely, because the Switch is getting stronger and stronger, really, it's not slowing down by any means, that they kind of want to keep, they might keep going with it longer, or you might see what we don't usually see from Nintendo, which is a pro model, so to speak. They do usually redesign a console. They did it with the DS, with the DS Lite. They did it with the Wii and made like that the Wii Mini. But it'll be interesting if we do see like a Nintendo Switch 2, which deviates too much from what we have now, which is this hybrid console. And as we've seen, we also have the Nintendo Switch Lite, which is a dedicated handheld. So maybe next gen they release the handheld version and the hybrid version at the same time.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I think, I mean, everyone who could try and buy a Nintendo Switch because they heard it was the thing to have during lockdown will be happy that there's possibly something else coming they have to buy. That'd be nice. Right, okay, let's go for it, Cherie. Last week, so Gerald and Adam, last week we invented a new game where I thought it was really great when I was off that I could hear all about the news that I didn't catch up on, because when I was moving house I wasn't as engaged with the tech world as I normally am, but still a big fan obviously, so I got a good chance to catch up, and I thought, how could we smush more of that into this podcast? So our new game is, how many news stories can you describe in 1 minute? I managed 11 last week, and Cherie's now going to go and try and better that, and I'm sure she will, because it wasn't a good result for me. I didn't try hard enough. So Cherie, are you ready?
No, but we're going to do it anyway.
Right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Garmin watch is going to come with an indefinite battery life. It will be solar power, and using the power of the sun, this watch will not lose battery life. You can wear it forever, supposedly. Next, Microsoft Surface Book 3 plagued with a headphone jack buzzing noise. Like certain Surface Book 3s, if you plug in your headphones, you will hear this annoying buzzing noise. People have returned their Surface Books to no avail. Apparently someone found a solution in updating an Intel driver. Oh, Intel, always messing things up. Next, everything you want to know about Avatar 2. I didn't know I wanted to know about Avatar 2, but apparently it's coming out December 17th, 2021, for better or worse. We'll see how that goes. It's basically Pocahontas with blue people, or if you are a 90s kid, it is Fern Gully. Windows 10 fails. So Windows 10, the May update, will not install on certain machines, and no one knows why. Apparently, Microsoft
Time.
Is saying that... Damn!
You got four. You have four.
Oh, well.
As you started describing the Garmin watch, I was like, this is going to be a stretch.
Yeah. All right, next time.
Okay, well, I think we've got something to work on. It's nice. It's great. Right, okay, let's take a break quickly. And I think when we come back, we've got two unpopular opinions to unfurl. So we'll speak to you all after this. And we're back. Right, let's go to the final section of this wonderful podcast. I'm having a lovely time with you guys. Thank you for all your candor and thoughts. Unpopular opinions. Right, we're going to go for the first one. I've realised I've just messed up the running order and put the wrong one in. But one of the big stories on Tech Radar this week was, well, last week the big story was there's no chargers possibly coming in your box with your phone when you get a new phone. And James Peckham, who's often of this parish, has posited very fairly in my mind that we don't need chargers in our phone boxes anymore. And I think that's a great thing. I'm gonna go with this, right? So I originally thought, right, it's terrible that you wouldn't have a charger, because very least, if it's broken and you haven't got one from previously, how are you supposed to charge your new phone? And if you have got one, it's a great chance to put a charger in the kitchen so you can charge in more than one place. However, James Peckham posits very well that this is causing absolute tons of electronic waste. You know, chargers are making up a huge part of that. They're not recycled very well at the moment. So what would be a better idea, and I endorse this, is that phones bring them out for free, so you can choose whether or not you want them. Same way, do you want a bag at purchase? You decide that. Instead, you can just decide whether you want a phone charger. And even better than that, what I would love to see is phones being cheaper, and you can either choose to spend a bit more and get a normal charger, or even more on top of that and get a fast charger. You choose, you customize. You're buying a new phone is a more customizable choice for yourself. And you can't disagree with that. It's about the environment.
Well, I'm going to be
polar bear cubs.
Environment. In a world where $1,000 phones exist, you better put a damn goddamn charger in my box. With cheaper phones, I can ride with that. But once we start getting into the premium, like once we start cresting $800, $1,000, $1,300 in the case of some foldable phones, they're better be a charger in there. It better be fast charging. It better be the top of the line charger that you can offer me. I like Peck's idea. I loves it, but not for phones that are over $1,000. That's the least that Apple and Samsung and LG and anybody else who's making a phone over $800 can do. That is the very, very least.
Everyone's just in stunned silence now, but yeah, I agree. Sorry, I'm sorry, Sheree. You're so right. There's one other thing before we go that we want to talk about though as well, is that Adam doesn't think that Marvel movies are any good and DC is better. I mean, it's got to be raised. It's not necessarily straight tech, but we've covered this well on Tech Radar.
When Adam first suggested this, I thought he meant the DC universe as a whole, you know, taking in comics and games and, you know, older Michael Keaton Batman, Christopher Nolan Batman. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't fully agree, but I can see his point. But then Adam dropped the bombshell that no, he's talking Zack Snyder era DC.
Oh, there we go.
And the bottom fell out. No. Argument.
Martha!
No.
Why did you say Martha? No.
Are we best friends now? We've got the same mum's name.
Let me get my post-it note out and bestow some much needed clarity to your terrible ways of thinking. The Marvel movies, I'd say as high as 90% of them are garbage. And the garbage, because
I would say 89% personally.
Well, you always
maybe 91%, maybe 92%.
But here's why I personally don't like them. I don't hate all of them. I like Ant-Man. Okay, give me that.
What?
I like Ant-Man.
No,
Ant-Man's good. Ant-Man, right?
Oh, whatever.
The second Ant-Man is terrible. The second Ant-Man,
the first Ant-Man wasn't meant to be a proper Marvel movie, though. It was clearly designed to be something else.
That's why it's good. Yeah. That's why it's good, because it wasn't a proper Marvel movie. So Marvel movies are terrible for these reasons. Okay, here we go.
Have you written them down?
One. Yes, one. Because I knew it was a three on. I knew it was going to be a bloodbath if I didn't write some down. So the first reason is this, like kind of happens to video games when they become annualized. There's far too many Marvel films. They basically dominate cinema. There's like five a year, it feels like, and every single trailer when you're going to see a film is of another Marvel film. So there's far too many of them. Point number one. Point number two, and this is why I do prefer the DC films. I don't include Zack Snyder in that. I think he's awful. I'm talking basically the Batman films, Joker, the good ones, is because they're really mature. And I don't think the Marvel movies are very mature. They're very kid-friendly, which is fine, but to me, that's extremely cheesy. It doesn't make the world believable. Like, the Hulk just smashing things that only he can smash.
But Batman's fine.
Yeah, but Batman's proper gritty and believable. It's believable.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, Batman fights a guy called the Penguin, who has an army.
Danny DeVito is an amazing penguin.
But
he
is an amazing penguin, but he also has an army of penguins, which I'm not quite sure how believable slash dark.
Very. In 2020, that's believable. An army of penguins. You telling me that's not going to happen? So that's that one. Also, that there's too much CGI in the Marvel films. There's far too much CGI. Where's the acting? Where's the actual acting? Where are the people? Where are the sun?
Have you seen Justice League? Have you seen?
No.
Have you actually seen the films that you're talking about, Adam?
Didn't I say Zack Snyder is not included in this conversation? Please stop bringing
Aquaman
him into this.
Did you see Wonder Woman?
No. I only watch very limited. Wonder Woman was. I didn't enjoy that one either. So. I won't get into that one. But okay, the next up is the costumes are very silly and I don't like them.
Batman
has a belt and everyone wears belts, so that's again quite believable. But Superman just looks, he's cool because he's the silliest costume, but he's strong, he can fly, he's OP, I admit. But
Henry
the
Cavill's
Marvel characters,
rubber pajamas,
yeah, but Henry Cavill, come on, he elevates that. So silly, too many silly costumes in Marvel.
Henry convincing Cavill you all has here. Never elevated anything in his life other than maybe some weights at the gym.
The Witcher. The Witcher's a good set. Do you not like The Witcher on Netflix?
I do. But look, no, don't just, no, get back to the points.
I've got more. So there's very cheesy jokes. They're the kind of jokes that I would laugh at if I was maybe 8 to 12 years old, if I'm honest. I watched like what's the third Thor film? Ragnarok, which everyone thinks is amazing. Where's the laughs in that film?
All over the place.
Oh, it's okay. And this this leads me on to my next point. Every single Marvel film after the first couple of Marvel films is just a film full of cameos. It's awful. It's like, oh, here's this guy, here's that guy. And all they're doing is setting up the next film for you to go and bloody see in the cinema.
May I say again, have you seen any of these DC films, Adam?
Yeah, I saw you for Ragnarok. I'll tell you what I've seen off the top of my head, and I'll tell you how I rate them. Thor, probably the worst film I've ever seen.
Not true, fair.
Thor Ragnarok, I skipped Thor 2 because apparently that's even worse. Thor Ragnarok, garbage. Spider-Man, the first three with Tobey Maguire, are a gem, and I like
them. Not three.
I'm joking. Three's awful. But it's got the clicking, it's got the emo, that's the best bit.
No.
Oh, Broken Cherry, great.
Those Tobey Maguire ones were they were great for that time. We are in a new era, and dear God, Spider-Man 3 was a horrible movie. That was horrible.
He went dark and covered his face with some of his hair because he's now dark. It was just
what a moment! What a moment!
And decided in the dance sprint number. No.
But we all remember it.
I got all my friends to go and see Spider-Man 3 with me for my birthday, and I've never had a worse birthday.
I
had a birthday where I had like second degree burns, so that says
something. Oh Jesus.
Like, I think that Tom Holland as Spider-Man, as young Spidey, I think that's a great choice.
There's too much Iron Man in that film.
I don't like that part, but as a Spider-Man, Tom Holland,
he's a good Spider-Man.
He's a great Spider-Man. I think that Andrew Garfield was a better Spider-Man, and he gave you Peter Parker,
yes,
and he gave you Spider-Man. I think he was the best Spider-Man. He just got crappy movies. He just got shitty movies.
So the Spider-Man films are good, and I think that's because Sony works on them and not Disney.
Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is the best Spider-Man, except the fact that you're meant to believe that a 32-year-old man is at high school.
Yeah, none of that. It was
he'd get arrested.
It was good for its time. Like Tom Holland as Spider-Man, that's a better work. Sir, why do you hate joy and freedom? Superhero movies should not be this dark jaunt into the human condition. Also, my Batman does not kill people. He might beat you to within an inch of your life and leave you for dead, but you are very much alive when he leaves.
It's a realistic beating, though.
It's
very realistic.
He does not brand people. He does not use guns. Like, there should be a certain joy to superhero movies. Like, how do you mess up Spider-Man? Like, yes, Henry Cavill, yes, but like, there's not a smile cracked. The whole dichotomy between Superman and Batman is Batman is this gritty stuff, and he literally calls Superman a Boy Scout. So does Lois Lane. It is the biggest thing about it. Like, how can you be in a movie like, well, it's not an S. On my planet, it stands for hope. Where, Sway? Where are the smiles? All you get is this existential angst because, oh my God, I'm a god amongst these ants and I don't know how to feel about it. What are you...
Right, I think we can definitely decide that Adam's just wrong. So that's much better.
Adam is correct. Adam is right.
We are way over time now, guys. Come on, we can't. Cherie, final thought from you. Final thought, one sentence.
I would have given you this if you had said DC animated is better than Marvel. I would have rolled with that. But you
there we go.
You went with.
Right, we finish on that. The only thing I would say is, I was going to say, what are the jokes in Thor Ragnarok? There's a bit where he throws a ball at a window and he doesn't break it and it hits him in the face. I realise that is quite childish humour. Doesn't really support my point. But I still laugh. I still laugh when I think about it. Yeah. Thank you, guys. We are well over time now, as is coming the way. I'm sorry, listeners, if you do get bored, but I feel like everyone's got an opinion on Marvel, surely. So you can enjoy that. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. Adam, have you had a good time?
I've had a great time, thank you.
Do you anything you want to tell people? How to get in contact with you? Any thoughts on life in general?
You can follow me on Twitter at itsmrproducts, written strangely. And yeah, stay tuned to Tech Radar for all your awesome technology news.
Yeah, well done, Adam. Proud of you for that. Gerald.
Thank you.
thank you for coming as well, Gerald.
Thank you for having me.
Anything you want to promote? Yeah, you've written a book.
I've written a book, and you can buy it with real money. Don't go to the shop and buy it, though. I wouldn't normally say that. I would normally say support your local independent bookseller. But if they don't have a website, stay indoors, stay safe, wear your mask in the shower, wear your mask to bed, don't take it off. My book is called Get Technology, and you can buy it from all good bookshops.
All right.
Having to leave your house.
It was meant to be like, yes, I've written a book.
Well, you should. Well, you open the door. You open the door.
Yeah.
And you can follow me on Twitter at GGMidnight. GWGW Midnight. Yo.
Should we?
All right. Follow me on Twitter or Instagram, Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith 11. And of course, laptop now, laptop today, laptop in the past, laptop forever. And we, speaking of which, we are looking for freelancers. So please, please, please hit us up. Look, go to our How to Pitch page and send us a pitch. I'm waiting to work with you.
Yep, we're, and Tech Radar is the same, actually. We are looking for that. We've also got a How to Pitch page. It's almost like we work for the same publishing company, had great ideas. So please find that from us as well. I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, as we know, the greatest technology website that's ever been created. Possibly, probably not sure if I can qualify that with actual stats, but it's very good. Please come and enjoy. I'm Super Beav on Twitter, and once again, this has been the Noise Cancelling Podcast. We are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Please do check out other fine podcast fare from those lovely people. And it's just saying thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to hearing from you again. And if you did like this, please give it 5 stars. If you sort of like it, give it 4. If you're undecided, give it 3. If you don't like it, just ignore this. Don't make it worse for us, okay? Thanks very much, and I will see you all soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.